Analysis of financial statements. Financial statements help managers and investors track the financial results of an organization's activities. Whenever you are discussing supply chain financials, remember that each department in an organization has its own particular priorities based on its activities, and those priorities may compete with each other. For instance, the primary objective of marketing is to maintain and boost revenue, and it strives toward that by providing great customer service. Although the finance function is also interested in increasing revenues, its primary focus is on keeping costs and investment expenses low. Production wants the lowest operating costs it can achieve. Those conflicting viewpoints may spill over into how each function views financial documents and metrics. Accounting standards. Accounting standards are an important factor in creating financial statements. While supply chain managers do not need to know the details of these standards, a brief overview will help in understanding how doing business in multiple areas with conflicting accounting standards will increase costs due to multiple reporting requirements. The majority of the world uses one set of financial accounting standards, the International Financial Reporting Standards, IFRS, developed by the International Accounting Standards Board, IASB. A few countries permit rather than require use of these standards, and a few others, including the U.S., use country-specific standards. International Financial Reporting Standards. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines the International Financial Reporting Standards, IFRS, as follows. A common global language for business affairs so that company accounts are understandable and comparable across international boundaries. As a result of growing international shareholding and trade, they are rules to be followed by accountants to maintain books of accounts that are comparable, understandable, reliable, and relevant as per the user's internal or external. As of 2018, 144 of the 166 jurisdictions in the world, for example, these are countries for the most part, had fully adopted IFRS for all or most of their domestic publicly accountable organizations, and others were in the process of doing so. Some countries require IFRS for financial institutions, but not listed companies, and others, 12 jurisdictions, permit rather than require it. IFRS is a principles-based accounting system, meaning that it presents simple accounting and disclosure requirements and expects organizations to live up to the principle being set down, rather than presenting more detailed rules. The argument in favor of principles-based accounting is that promulgating rules provides an incentive to find loopholes and exceptions and workarounds, while principles do not provide this incentive. The organization and regulators can assess whether the entity is operating within the spirit of the principle or not. However, ethics violations have occurred under IFRS. IFRS and the U.S. system, U.S. GAAP, both allow businesses to organize as proprietorships, partnerships, and corporations, but the most advantageous business form may differ by country, not only due to differences in the country's required accounting rules, but also to other country-specific legal and tax differences. The IFRS financial statements include the following. Since IFRS financial statements are very similar to U.S. GAAP financial statements, naming differences are called out in parentheses, a statement of financial position at the end of the period. This is similar to the balance sheet presented in Exhibit 2-42, a statement of comprehensive income for the period. This is similar to the income statement presented in Exhibit 2-43, a statement of changes in equity for the period. This is similar to a U.S. GAAP statement of retained earnings, which is not presented in these materials. This statement breaks down changes in equity, including shares purchased, held, or sold. A statement of cash flows for the period. This is similar to the statement of cash flows shown in Exhibit 2-44. Notes and explanations of significant accounting policies and so on. U.S. GAAP also requires notes such as these. A revised statement of financial position as soon as possible if there have been significant changes in accounting policy. U.S. GAAP has this same revision policy. IFRS statements report on assets and liabilities, equity, income, called revenue in U.S. GAAP, and expenses using simple principle-based definitions. By contrast, U.S. GAAP uses rules-based definitions that are slightly more complex and legalistic. Here are the IFRS definitions of the major financial statement components, assets. A resource controlled by the entity as a result of past events and from which future economic benefits are expected to flow to the entity. Liabilities. A present obligation of the entity arising from past events, the settlement of which is expected to result in an outflow from the entity of resources embodying economic benefits. Equity. A residual interest in the assets of the entity after deducting all its liabilities. Income. Increases in economic benefits that result in increases in equity, other than those related to contributions from shareholders. Income includes both revenues resulting from ordinary activities and gains. Expenses. Decreases in economic benefits that result in decreases in equity, other than those related to distributions to shareholders. Expenses include losses that are not the result of ordinary activities. Country-specific accounting regulations. A number of countries, including the U.S., use country-specific accounting regulations. As noted above, the U.S. generally accepted accounting principles, U.S. GAAP, use rules-based accounting, meaning that the standards for accounting are detailed and specific. The intent is to ensure that all of the details are addressed. However, a drawback to this system is that organizations can operate within the rules while still finding loopholes to exploit, which can mean that organizations might be less transparent than the rules intend. Like the IFRS system, rules-based accounting has had its share of accounting scandals. While the broad strokes of IFRS and U.S. GAAP are very similar, there are numerous small differences in what is allowed and what is not allowed in accounting. For example, under U.S. GAAP, a disaster at a plant that is not expected to recur may be classified as an extraordinary item, which means that gains or losses from the event are not classified as part of normal operating revenue or expenses. Under IFRS, all income and expense is considered ordinary. There is no such thing as an extraordinary item. The effect of significant unusual events would be handled as part of disclosures in the notes. The U.S. GAAP financial statements, primarily the balance sheet, the income statement, and the statement of cash flows, are very similar to the IFRS financial statements. The statements have different but complementary functions. Supply chain managers need to understand that doing business in multiple areas with conflicting global and country-specific accounting standards will increase administrative costs due to the need to use multiple reporting methods and comply with any related transparency and disclosure rules and regulations. However, these costs are decreasing. Most of the countries that do not use IFRS or only partially adopt it are working toward convergence of their standards with the international standards. In addition, the need to reconcile international standards with country-specific standards, for example, produce two sets of statements, is lessening. For example, the U.S. no longer requires foreign companies that trade shares in the U.S. to reconcile their accounting with U.S. GAAP. Next, we'll take a closer look at each of the U.S. GAAP financial statements, define some key terms, and discuss some key relationships among the elements of the statements. Balance sheet. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines the balance sheet or statement of financial position as a financial statement showing the resources owned, the debts owed, and the owner's share of a company at a given point in time. The balance sheet is often called a snapshot of the company's financial position because it is a static view of financial value or net worth at a point in time, usually the last day of the fiscal or calendar year, though it could also be for the end of any reporting period, such as a month or quarter. It gets its name from the fact that it has two major sections that have to be in balance, assets on the one hand and liabilities and owner's equity on the other. The accounting equation defines this balance. It states that the balance sheet sections are always in balance because owner's equity is simply the difference between assets and liabilities. An organization uses investments from owners, for example, shareholders, and amounts owed to others, for example, bank debt, to acquire assets that are expected to generate a return greater than the amount invested. Owner's equity can increase or decrease if the organization generates a positive or negative return. The balance sheet shows the increases or decreases in assets, liabilities, and owner's equity from year to year. Exhibit 2-42 shows a sample balance sheet for a publicly traded company. Exhibit 2-42. Sample balance sheet showing 2 years of results. One purpose of the balance sheet is to show whether the organization has increased or decreased its owner's equity during the year. This is done by comparing the current year's amounts to the amounts in prior years. Note that in Exhibit 2-42, The size of the owner's equity has increased in year two from year one, based primarily on profits that were reinvested, retained earnings, and to a lesser degree on new owner investments, common stock, and additional paid in capital. The value of inventory as presented on the balance sheet may not match the value of inventory used by supply chain managers for internal control purposes. This is because there are a number of ways accounting rules may allow for inventory to be presented for purposes of external financial reporting. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines inventory valuation as the value of the inventory at either its cost or its market value. Because inventory value can change with time, some recognition is taken of the age distribution of inventory. There are a variety of ways to calculate the cost value inventory to establish the cost of goods sold. Evaluation methods may include first in, first out, FIFO, last in, first out, LIFO, or average cost systems. FIFO and LIFO refer to whether the oldest inventory purchased is considered to be sold first when a sale is made, or whether the newest inventory is considered to be sold first. Average cost systems sum and average the cost for all items. Once an inventory valuation method is chosen, the organization should keep it the same for a number of years so that stakeholders can compare the results of different time periods. The accounting method chosen may have nothing to do with actual inventory movement policy. Note that IFRS bans the use of LIFO. Inventory on the balance sheet and property on the income statement can be impacted by obsolescence. According to the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary, obsolescence is 1. The condition of being out of date. 2. A loss of value occasioned by new developments that place the older property at a competitive disadvantage. 3. A factor in depreciation. 4. A decrease in the value of an asset brought about by the development of new and more economical methods, processes, or machinery. 5. The loss of usefulness or worth of a product or facility as a result of the appearance of better or more economical products, methods, or facilities. When inventory is obsolete, it must be sold at a discount or written off and removed from the financial statements. As plants and equipment become obsolete over time, they are depreciated, as will be discussed below. The balance sheet can also be used as a source for a number of financial measurements used in part to measure the success of supply chain activities. For example, the balance sheet lists accounts receivable and accounts payable. According to the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary, accounts receivable are the value of goods shipped or services rendered to a customer for which payment has not yet been received. This usually includes an allowance for bad debts. Accounts payable are the value of goods and services acquired for which payment has not yet been made. These two balance sheet amounts are used to calculate the cash-to-cash cycle time, which measures how many days the organization's working capital is invested in managing the supply chain. Net working capital is the current assets of a firm minus its current liabilities. Working capital is important to the supply chain because these are the funds the organization has readily available to invest in normal operations. Income statement. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines the income statement, or statement of comprehensive income under IFRS terminology, as a financial statement showing the net income for a business over a given period of time. In contrast to the balance sheet, the income statement is cumulative and dynamic, meaning that the statement covers business results over a period of time, such as a quarter or a year, rather than being a static snapshot. The income statement shows managers, investors, and creditors whether the company has made or lost money during the given period of time. The basic equation for the income statement is, here are key terms to be familiar with, all of which can be impacted by the effectiveness and efficiency of a supply chain. Profit is money remaining from revenues after deduction of certain expenses. The profit margin, which measures the degree of financial success for a business, is the difference between the sales and cost of goods sold, sometimes expressed as a percentage of sales. ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary. The gross margin measures the difference between total revenue and the cost of goods sold. ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary. It is also called the gross profit margin. Net profit is figured by deducting all expenses, not only the cost of goods sold, from revenues. Exhibit 2-43 shows a sample income statement with some explanations in the margin. Exhibit 2-43, sample income statement showing 2 years of results. Supply chain managers can use an income statement to determine the effect of supply chain expenses on net income. For example, for a manufacturing organization, the direct materials expenses listed in the statement would consist primarily of raw material expenses, so reducing this type of inventory would reduce overall expenses, directly increase profits, and likely increase owners' equity on the balance sheet. Note that operating expenses such as sales bonuses or general and administrative expenses, all costs that cannot be linked to specific units sold, are called period costs because they must be expensed in the period in which they are incurred. COGS are called product costs. Product costs are accounted for in the period in which the units are sold, even though many of these costs may be incurred in earlier periods. A final concept of importance to the income statement's matching. Matching refers to reporting related revenues and expenses together in the period in which they were incurred. For example, sales expenses incurred to make a sale should fall in the period in which the sale was made. When they do not, accountants use adjustments called accruals to account for the period differences. Note the text, the bottom line near the bottom in the exhibit. This refers to the line at the bottom of the income statement that shows a net profit or loss. Note also that the economic perspective of the triple bottom line is a reference to this financial bottom line, funds flow statement, statement of cash flows. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines the funds flow statement, or statement of cash flows, as a financial statement showing the flow of cash and its timing into and out of an organization or project. The statement of cash flows shows the sources of a company's cash flows and how these cash flows are used over a given period of time. Within a cash flow statement, there are three sections of cash flows: operating, investing, and financing. According to the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary, cash flow is 1. The net flow of dollars into or out of the proposed project. 2. The algebraic sum in any time period of all cash receipts, expenses, and investments, also called cash proceeds or cash generated. There are three factors that determine cash flows: sales, after-tax operating profit margins, and capital requirements. Some organizations consider cash flow to be a better long-term indicator of financial health than net income. The purpose of a statement of cash flows is to show lenders, investors, and creditors whether the organization has sufficient cash to pay debts, bills, and dividends to owners, because cash, not net income, is needed to make these payments. The after-tax net income on the income statement is not the same as cash flow, but it is the starting point for the statement of cash flows. Under the most popular method for preparation, the indirect method, the statement adjusts this amount by increases or decreases in certain accounts to show whether the cash balance has increased or decreased in the period. Being able to read and understand a cash flow statement is important. In order to keep the cash flow turning over, the supply chain professional must efficiently manage the company's inventory level and cost while maintaining and improving customer satisfaction. The cash flow statement shows if the company is generating enough cash to fulfill its minimum obligations to lenders, investors, and government's taxes. Generating extra cash can be used to repay debt, purchase additional assets for growth, or invest in new products. This information is particularly helpful for financial managers who use it along with a cash budget when forecasting their organization's cash positions. Exhibit 2-44 shows a sample statement of cash flows using the indirect method. Exhibit 2-44, sample statement of cash flows showing 2 years of results. Note the depreciation amount that is added back on the statement of cash flows. Depreciation is a predetermined incremental reduction in the value of fixed assets, such as property, plant, and equipment, on the income statement to account for their deterioration over time. This provides organizations with a tax benefit to offset the investment in fixed assets. However, while depreciation is calculated and expensed on the income statement as the cost of using an asset over its life, this cost is a non-cash charge. For example, no one is paid. Since depreciation reduces net income on the income statement but doesn't reduce actual cash levels, depreciation is added back on the statement of cash flows to determine the actual cash flow.